All right, thank you for being back here tonight. We'll be in the book of Daniel again. We started this actually 2 weeks ago, and we will finish it tonight. And again, thank you for being here and being faithful to church, and I hope that you get off to have a great, great summer with us. We're looking forward to everything that we have going on, and I hope that you'll be a part of it. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 15, if you'll look at that real quick, we'll read that. That's where the message originally started from 2 weeks ago, before it spiraled out of control into 3 weeks. But we're answering this question that Nebuchadnezzar asked in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 15. This is when he was talking to the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before he was going to throw them into the fiery furnace. He said, "Now, if you be ready, that if ye be ready, that at that time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, and all those different things, and all the music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made." Well, that means second chance. "But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And here's his rhetorical question. "And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Who is that God? He wasn't asking them for an answer. He was answering them because he was fighting against it. He was answering them because he was standing against it. It's a rhetorical question. You say, what does that mean? Google it. Okay, you'll figure that out. It's an answer that, to him, has an assumed answer. There is no God. He thought he was all. We mentioned in the first 2 weeks that there are many in the Bible who fought God. We mentioned Goliath. Goliath challenged and blasphemed God and his armies, and he lost his head. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, took down a bunch of nations, and he came up against Israel and King Hezekiah, and he's talking trash, and he was throwing down God. And you know, "I've defeated these gods, your God's nothing." And his army was wiped out by God. Not the soldiers, by God. And then he goes back and he's assassinated by his sons. Pharaoh just over and over and over, and it didn't work well for him. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar here. We mentioned that there are those in history, and you can look all over. We mentioned John Lennon of the Beatles last week. He said, "Christianity will end. It will disappear. I do not have to argue about that. I am certain." He's not certain about a lot of things now. Okay, well, he is certain that Christianity won't end. The French atheist Voltaire said, "100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible on earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker." And we all know that after he died, within 40, 50 years, they were printing the Bible in his house. You cannot fight against God successfully. And we're trying to answer this question. I like the book of Daniel because it really applies to, it's getting more and more where it applies to our world as our world gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and people are standing against God. We live in a pagan society. There's just no way around it. We can call ourselves a Christian nation. We were founded on Christian principles. Many of our founding fathers were Christians, and even those that were not Christians had our Christian principles, and they understood the importance of a Christian foundation if a nation was going to go and be successful. Well, now we do the complete opposite. We're fighting against God. There are so many Christians. I'll just be honest with you, they're in name only. There's just too many. What has happened in our society with all the nonsense that's going on, Christians think that they are being really cued and all that stuff to buy into the wokeness and the nonsense of our society. And all the while, society does not care what they believe. You want to step back, we'll push you another step back. It doesn't work that way. Didn't work that way in the book of Daniel. And I hope that you're understanding that. Daniel's very applicable. We saw that Nebuchadnezzar's fighting against God, and we're going to help him answer that question. The problem with our nation, the problem with people in our society, is that they have a big problem with God. And now they have a problem with Christians. They just stand and push against everything that is right. We mentioned our schools, our workplaces, you know it, you live it, our big tech companies, entertainment. businesses, and you have to be very careful about that. They push back against God's morality. God said marriage is a man and a woman forever. And when we say man or woman, we mean what you were when you were born. Okay? How ignorant is it to say, well, that's what you were assigned at birth. Stop. Like they assigned it to you, like they rolled the dice when you were born. Boy or girl, here we go. Oh, you're going to have to be a boy. Doesn't work that way. We're ignorant. The openness in morality. Man with man, woman with woman, a man with two women with three. It's just, it's all over the map. And by the way, they're not fighting us. Now, they may not like our stand, and they'll have to get over it any way they can. But they're fighting really against God, because God put that down, not us. You say, yeah, that's right, Pastor Myers, I'm against that. I know, God's against adultery, too. God's against fornication, too. God's against all of it. We can't just pick and choose. And our society is for anything. For anything. They fight against God's design. God designed you a certain way. Amen. You cannot change that. Okay? What you are, man or woman, is what God assigned for you to be. Your nationality, that's what God designed you to be. The time that you were born on this earth, that's what God designed you to be. The family you were born into, that's what God designed for you. That's what God knew, that God knew you would be there. And none of these things need to stop you. None of these things, and what we have become a very unhappy people. These people that buy into this whole gender deal, and they want to switch their genders because they're unhappy. Sad thing is they're going to find out is once they switch their genders, they're still going to be unhappy. And they've done harm to their body. Why in the world would anybody want children to start transitioning? You don't even let your child decide what time they go to bed. You don't let your children decide whether or not they want to go to school. You don't let them decide what they eat for dinner. And yet you'll let them make the decision to rip their bodies apart because I think I'm a boy, mommy. That's ignorance beyond belief. I just thought of that. Now I'm mad. That's how in the world can we do that? And then we'll sit there and argue about it. All these toy companies, I mentioned one a few weeks ago, now Mattel is going to have transgender dolls. I just don't get it. Really what they're doing, they're fighting against God's system. Anything that's right. Everybody's going out of their mind now trying to kill babies because they can't kill babies in some states. Think about that. Do you understand that our country and the things that have happened, particularly in the last just few years, we're worse than Sodom. You say, I don't see it. Well, maybe if you quit watching CNN. Maybe if you quit watching all these liberal garbage dumps. They're hiding all of that stuff. So let's be very, very careful. I think we should just stick with the Bible. Why do you think it's a baby? Because the Bible says you are with child. No, it's just a lump of cells until it's born. What happened when Jesus, who was in his mother's womb, met John the Baptist when he was in his mother's womb? What did the Bible say? The babe and her, I forget, was in her, no, I know that part, the babe in her stomach or whatever, leapt for joy. You know what that means? They have feelings. They don't feel pain, really. And that's not the message. I just thought I'd throw that out there. By the way, we'll protect animals. They'll tax your pregnant cow. They consider that a calf or whatever, cow or whatever. They'll consider it, but it's different when it's a baby. We're really, you know, protect the trees. Why don't we protect the humans? But anyhow, there are problems with God. And Daniel lived in a pagan society. I mean, immorality was part of worship in the ancient times. Child sacrifice was part of worship. I mean, we just read the Bible, oh, Dagon, Baal. You might want to do a little research on what that worship entailed. Oh, Diana, All these different things. It was really, really bad. We've just made it, you know, we're trying to make it more palatable, but there's just no way around it. But anyhow, okay, I feel better. So we're answering the question, who is that God? Now, the last 2 weeks we looked at, it should have been a short message, there's only 2 points. We looked at, he's a God of great people. And we looked at Daniel and his comrades, his friends, how they reacted. We said they were people of conviction. We were people of comparison. In other words, it was noticeable that God was doing something in their lives. They were people of commendation. They gave the praise to God. They were people of challenge. They were willing to stand. They were people of compassion, even against those who were mean, even to Nebuchadnezzar, who was a pagan king. Daniel still had compassion towards him. And again, when we're preaching hard against sin and all this stupidity in our society, we're not against people. Okay? I'll tell you how you can change people from all these idiotic ideologies. Get them saved. Get them to Jesus Christ. That'll change their mind. And people of continuance and so forth. Here's the second part. It's very simple. And we won't even be long tonight. He was not only the God of great people, he's a God of great power. He's a God of great power. Now, I believe that we ought to represent God in this world. But let me just tell you something. Bottom line is, when it all comes to the end, God can take care of himself. God's going to do what he needs to do and what he wants to do. God's plan's going to be laid out, and it's going to come to fulfillment. Now, sometimes what is involved in that we don't like, but it's going to come. It's going to happen. But he's a God of great power. God has tremendous power. These men, many of these men saw it. Now, some saw it from the negative end. Daniel chapter 5, he saw it and he died. But the other ones, they saw it in these men's life, and they realized who God was. But who is this God of great power? Let me give you a couple thoughts, and we'll be done not long tonight. He's a God of great power. He's the one who advances positions. Look at Daniel 17. Daniel chapter 1, which is where we started, verse 17. By the way, if you find Daniel 17, you got the wrong Bible, okay? It only has 12 chapters, so I come see me later. I'd like to see what it says too. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. He goes, as for these four children, what are the next three words? God gave them. He gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Verse 20, when they're standing before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. Now, I'm not going to belabor the story, but they had to have a special diet because the diet that the king wanted his wise men he was training, the diet he wanted them to have would violate God's dietary laws. And so they're like, hey, let us try this. And they tried it. And guess what? When they stood before the king, they were way better. When they stood before their supervisor, they were way better. And then when he talks to them, they were really way better. But what were they better than? Other than their character and their convictions, which they had, and which they lovingly, in this one chapter, were able to keep. But other than that, what was it that the king noticed that they were much better in? Okay? He said that they were better in all matters, the Bible says, of matters of wisdom and understanding. It was something about the way they looked at life, the way they answered questions about things that are important in life. When he talked to them, he said, they are better than these other men. You see, when their immediate supervisor saw it, he saw the physical benefits of them following God's plan. He looked at them and it's like, wow, okay, these guys, because part of his job was to keep them healthy. And so they had this special diet, but after the time set aside, he says, okay, their diet that they have from their God, that works. They saw the physical benefits. By the way, I will say this, serving God does have physical benefits. You know why? Sin is very destructive. You ever meet somebody that's lived a sinful lifestyle, and I'm not trying to be mean here, if they're really deep in sin, abusing their bodies, they'll look 10, 20 years older than they really are. You know why? Sin's abusive to the body. And so there is something to be said about that. But the king didn't see just the physical, he saw the practical benefits of serving God. The fact that God gave them wisdom. And that's the point. Wisdom comes from God. That's where it comes from. The ability, when everything around us is crazy, when people are nuts about everything, we can have true wisdom and understanding about what's going on in this world because we know God. And he's a God of great power. And if we'll follow him, we will have the wisdom we need in life. We don't have to figure it out by ourselves. And God advanced them in their positions because of that. We are in a society when it comes to that, and before you tune me out here, listen to what I'm going to say. We have bought into the lie that education is everything. I just want you to go to school. I just want you to, and by the way, I'm not against school. You say, you didn't even finish school. I know, but I wasn't against it necessarily. All right? I'm not against it. I did graduate from college. All right? But we send our kids to school and we think that's going to prepare them for life. That's going to prepare them to be successful. Can I just tell you something very honestly? One of the reasons our country is in such a bad shape is because of our school systems. We kick God out. And then we wonder why a bunch of junk happens at our schools. Well, God's not welcome. You can teach anything you want. You can have a LBGQZMA plus minus sideways group in a public school, but you can't have a, you can, well, legally you can, but you're going to have to fight. They'll fight you. You know, you can get drugs into school, at least in our day we did. People have told me. But you bring a Bible, you know, what's that? Separation of church and state. People can't think logically anymore. Right? You know, I think it's so stupid. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it. Some of you don't like that word. I think it's so not smart. We want to stand up and yell, it's a woman's choice. The court has no right to say anything. And then you ask those same people, what's a woman? I don't know. Then how can she have a choice? Who gets the choice? Maybe some of the guys in the Supreme Court identify as women. And they made a choice. So isn't that a woman's choice? All right, I'm sorry. We have people that have been ruined by humanistic philosophy. And they just attack everything that's moral and right. Not against education, but education. Now get this. This is the only thing that you need to pull out of this. Education is only as good as what is being taught. Education's a key. What if they're teaching you to do bad? You know, all right, let's go to a school of thieves where they're teaching you how to break into places. Okay? It's education. Right? No. Education's only as good. And these guys had the right education. Education used to be reading, writing, and arithmetic. Now it's feelings. How do you feel? And by the way, I want you to feel good. But you don't follow your feelings. Okay? How many of you all ever have times when you're not feeling it? Come on. And if you went by your feelings, it wouldn't turn out well for someone, right? Okay. Like, for instance, every time you're on the freeway, that type of thing. Tolerance. You know what tolerance is? Listen to my position and leave me alone. It's not like we all get a position. It's like, I'm okay with you as long as you buy into what I say. Inclusiveness. I don't even understand that. They want everybody to be included except those who disagree with them. So wisdom and not is not is not so wisdom is not only not education, it's not IQ. Well, I have a really high IQ. You know what? Some people have really good memories. The point is, God wants us to have wisdom. You know what the wisdom is? It's not a bad sentence. Wisdom is the ability to see what God says and be able to put it into practice into our life. These guys had wisdom because they looked at life from God's point of view. And they were able to see things in God's scheme of things. And other people don't. You could have 1,000,000 degrees on your wall. You could have more degrees than a thermometer and still not have wisdom. And I say this half jokingly, and I'm not telling anybody to quit school. But the best thing I ever did was quit school. Why? I didn't go anyhow. I was just there to hang out and mess around. And the classes I did too, I heard all kinds of nonsense. And once I got out of school, it's like, now I got to work a job. And so I got a couple jobs. I was working two jobs, and I'm like, I'm away from my friends. I'm away from the nonsense. And God started speaking. I'm not saying ditch, quit school. Like, don't you guys come to my office like, Pastor, you said quit school. I didn't say quit school. I'm saying learn the right thing and go to the right school. Okay? Make sure that we're getting God's viewpoint and not man's. And by the way, well, yeah, that's good. I've been out of school for a long time. Well, be careful what you're listening to on the radio. Be careful what you're reading. There's a lot. It used to, and I mentioned before, I don't want to harp on it, but shows used to teach character. The storyline was about teaching child a character quality. Now it's about teaching them craziness. So let's make sure that we're in God's word. Success comes from God's word. It does. It really does. So learn God's word. That's the one thing you should know, because it touches on every area of life. But success doesn't just come from God's word, it comes from God's will. We do what God's word says. We do what God wants us to be, do in our life. If you're a person that's committed to following God's word and committed to following God's will, do you know you're going to arrive exactly where God wants you to be? And you'll be able to make it. Secondly, the God of great power, he's a God who has answers for problems. Look at Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. We'll look at a couple verses here. This is a story where Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and it's troubling him. His other wise men can't answer it. And here's someone who is going to answer it. In fact, he said, if you don't answer it, you're going to be killed. Daniel's like, time out. Daniel chapter 2, verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and he would show the king the interpretation. So Nebuchadnezzar, who did not understand patience, okay, he's like, either you give me the, he didn't know the dream, he didn't know the interpretation, either you tell me or you die. Next question. They couldn't answer it. He's like, all right, go kill them all. We'll start over. And so Daniel hears about it and says, well, time out. Just give me a few days. So Daniel goes and asks for time. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's original names, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. How powerful must it have been when Daniel came in and said, God has given me the answer you're looking for. And he was able to tell him. King Nebuchadnezzar is like, how come my wise men can't answer that question? How come the guys who worship my God, how come they can't give me the answers? You know why? They don't have them. Answers to life's most important questions come only from God. That's where they come from. And if we're not getting them from God, we're getting them from somebody else. Problems are a part of life, are they not? Look around our world. How are marriages doing in our society? Not good. If you have a good marriage, you are in the ultimate minority. You are. It's just not part of our society. There's problems with children. There's problems when people are struggling to keep their emotions in check. Especially if you're not looking at life from God's perspective, well, of course you're going to feel like that. They have problems with people and relationships. They feel insecure. Their priorities are all out of whack. You know, the issue isn't the problems. The issue is the answers we accept. Because if you accept wrong answers to life's problems, it just makes the problem worse. It does. And people are searching. It used to kill me. I'd be in the break room or something, and here's these unsaved guys talking. This guy's like, you know, my old lady, she's giving me a hard time, and I don't know. And one guy goes, let me tell you what I do with my old lady. And I'm sitting there thinking, I know, that's his fourth old lady. Now maybe he knows by Uber experience that what I You know, well, my child's done this. Let me tell you about what I did as a dad. Two children in jail. Okay? It's like, look, what does God say? God has answers to all of these things. If we don't have the right answers, we don't have peace, we just have more chaos in life. So we have to be very careful. I don't know what the problem is, but that any you may have, or even people in our world don't have, but the answer is found in Scripture. We have more technology than ever before. You think we'd have more joy. Why is it we have less? We're addicted to our screens. We don't know how to talk to people. It just shocks me. We go out to eat, and here's a couple or a family eating, and all of them are sitting around the table like this. It's like, why didn't we just order, I was going to say Taco Bell, but don't do that. Why don't you just order, like, pizza and do that? It's cheaper. And you don't even know you're not at a restaurant because you're looking at your phone anyhow. I'm all about saving the binges, right? We have more knowledge than ever before, but we have less understanding. Everybody has an answer, but nobody has a solution. Okay? And so God has the answers to all of our problems. Look at Daniel chapter 3. We have a God of great power who accompanies his people. Who accompanies his people. Daniel chapter 19. Okay. It's seven chapters. It's two chapters after Daniel chapter 17. Okay? So if you actually found Daniel chapter 17, Daniel 19 shouldn't be a problem, okay? Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. So they're thrown into the fiery furnace. Look at verse 20. No, let's look at verse 23. Save a little time. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the firing furnace. He throws them in. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men. I like that word loose. They were kind of like, you know, the guy, obviously when they were tied up and thrown into the fire, burned off the so they were loose now, okay? And he sees four of them. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I mean, he threw in three and now there's four. Because the God who was always with them is now visible to him. These guys told him, they said, look, we're not gonna give you a political answer. You told us we have to bow down or you're getting thrown in the fire. He goes, we're not gonna give you a political answer. We're just gonna tell you straight out. He said, yes, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. He goes, but if not, we're not bowing down. And guess what? They got thrown into the fiery furnace. And God so chose this time to be with them. So the God that they had the guts and the courage to stand up for, because they stood up for him, now they saw this great God. It's like, hey, there's four in there. Why don't we help these guys out? And then it's like, hey, by the way, he had a different attitude towards them, didn't he? He did. By the way, two things I want you to get from this. You know, when you're going through a problem, God is with you. Now, sometimes we don't see it, right? I mean, they didn't see the fourth guy until they were thrown into the flames. I would have like said, hey, Lord, can I see you before I'm thrown in? It's like, I'd feel a lot better about this thing, right? I mean, if they were standing right there, it's like, I got this. It's like, throw us in. The only thing that's going to burn is your handcuffs, okay? But when they got in the fire, they saw him. By the way, you'd have a tendency to see God a lot more when you are in the fire. You have a tendency to know God's there when you really need him. Now, we should know he's there all the time. Don't get me wrong. But boy, he seems a lot closer back when we're going through troubled times. But not only is God visible to you more clearly in difficult times, he's more visible to others. I've talked to people before, and they're going through things, and it's like, man, they should be stressed out. And I'll talk to them. I'm like, man, I'm encouraged by them. There's something different. I mean, they're seeing God. They're encouraged by God. I remember when I had a bus route in Chicago when I was in Bible college, and you know, I had all these kids coming. One day I met this old gentleman. He was probably at that time, he was probably in his 80s, and this was in the 80s. And he wasn't going to ride my bus ever, but he was an old Christian. He knew some of the old-timers that had preached in Chicago back in those years because he was there. But I'd go visit him and hang with him every Saturday because he was an encouragement to me. And this guy, his wife was ill, his sister was ill, he wasn't in good health, and he had a lot on his plate, and I'd help him run errands and so forth. And just like, you know, usually a bus captain, you go, okay, chill, see you tomorrow, let me pray for you. I'd leave, come here, Steve, let me pray for you. And he was an encouragement to me, and he did not have it easy. And I liked being around him. When I was around him, I was encouraged. That's how it should be for us. When you have a, you know, it's sad when a Christian has a problem and they allow that a problem to push them from God. It shouldn't push you from God. It ought to drive you for him, towards him. And people see that. He's a God that is with you when you are going through difficulties. Now, we'll finish here, but I want you to understand this. The majority of the way our society is going to see the greatness of his power is through his people. That's just all there is to it. And it's very important for us that we get serious about this thing. You know, one of the things, and again, I'm not harping or complaining because God's good and everything's good. But one of the things that's I guess it could be encouraging. The darker the times get, the easier it is for the light to shine. People can go and yell and scream all they want. By the way, our country's not as far left as everybody says it is. It's not. They're just louder and have more technology and all that nonsense. There's a lot of people out there confused. There's a lot of people out there going through problems. You want to meet people going through problems? We should go soul winning at gas stations. Every time they look at that cost, they're like, I need Jesus. Like, or something. Okay? You know. It used to be coffee, a cup of coffee was more expensive than gas. And I didn't get four cups of coffee. But it's everywhere. And they're looking for answers. They're looking for something that's legitimate, something that makes sense of everything that's going on in this world. And we have a God who can make sense of anything. But if he doesn't make sense in his people's lives, is he going to make sense in the lives of those who see us? See, we have a great opportunity, and I want us to take advantage of that opportunity. It doesn't mean we are bulletproof from everything that's going on around us, but I'll tell you what, we're not like people who don't have a God. I mean, just look at how these men acted. You know how come they acted like that and they stood up? What we've talked about the last couple weeks? Because they knew God. The God of great power was real in their life. Now, let me ask you this. Is he real in your life? Is he, if you had to make, I wonder, and I know it's easy to say it, but I wonder if we had to make the decisions that they had to make. And you just go through the chapters. Chapter 6, chapter 5, chapter 3, chapter 1, chapter 2. I wonder if we would have made those decisions. Because if we're not willing to make those decisions, first of all, it's not right, but second of all, we're not going to help people. Convictionless people don't help anybody. People want to know, do you really believe what you say you believe? And if you do, we're showing God's power. Let's do that. Let's be a reflection of God to our society. Let's stand this evening, please, if we may. Thank you for listening. By the way, you don't see in the book of Daniel, you don't see them fretting, right? Remember when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? Who fretted that night? It was King Darius. He couldn't sleep. They brought music in and all this. He's like, this is my friend. And Daniel's down there using one of the lions as a pillow. He's like, I got this covered. God's got this taken care of. And it says that after the next day, he went over there and he said in a lamentable voice, Daniel? Are you okay? Daniel's like, I'm good. My God, shut the mouth of the lions. Everything's fine. We have something that can get us through this life. We have something that can keep us retaining our joy. But we have to be the right kind of people. God will never change. The problem is, will we change? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the only Jewish boys taken into Babylon, but they were the only ones that stood up. And they were the only ones that were 10 times better. And they were the only ones that were promoted. They were the only ones that positively affected every single ruler. And these were world rulers at that time. Maybe we can make a difference in our neighborhoods. Maybe we can make a difference in our community. Piano's going to play. If God spoke to you at all, why don't you come? Why don't you come? If God's been good in your life, I'm sure you would want others to have that goodness in their lives.